whole bunch of people came out because they were so excited to see me with this band. And when that band was done with our first set, the guy that was running sound for us and sort of was like the stage manager came up to us and he's like, "Man, you just grew a pair of wings and you're flying now."
Welcome to the American Grown Podcast, hosted by Austin Sullivan. The American Grown Podcast will focus on people from different walks of life and their journey to where they are now. Now, turn up your volume and settle in for a great episode.
This is the American Grown Podcast, recorded inside the ColorTech Creative Solutions Studios. This episode is brought to you by these sponsors.
Navigating the college journey can be overwhelming, but it doesn't have to be. At College Knowledge Foundation, we're here to guide students and families every step of the way. From choosing the right college to crafting standout essays and understanding financial aid, our virtual sessions and free consultations provide the tools you need to succeed. Join the growing community of students and families who've discovered how to take control of their college journey. Visit College Knowledge Foundation to learn more, book a session, or explore our free resources today.
Modern Gent Customs is your go-to for all your custom apparel and headwear needs. From individuals to businesses, with no minimums or design fees ever, inquire today at info@moderngentcustoms.com.
Are you in the mood for some mouth-watering Italian dinners? Homemade bread, cheese steaks, hot subs, cold subs, salads, sides, and of course, delicious pizza? Look no further than Angelo's, located at 1032 South 5th Ave, Lebanon. Call 717-273-8579 to place your order now.
Cleona Coffee Roasters is a small batch coffee roastery and coffee shop. Veteran and first responder owned, community oriented, and roasted fresh to order. Now open inside 911 Rapid Response, Anvil, PA. Go to CleonaCoffeeRoasters.com to order online, see updated hours, and find where you can buy it close to you.
In this episode, we're thrilled to have Cody Tyler joining us for his second appearance. He's the voice behind Gypsy Convoy, and his sound, what he calls Black Dirt Country, comes from the Appalachian. All right, just making sure I got it. Foothills of Pennsylvania. Cold, dusty, steel mill rusty, and full of grit. Cody just released a new single, Walk With Me, on July 15th. He dropped new merch, is mid-tour with his band, and just rocked a show at Foster's on the Point in Hagerstown, Maryland. Cody, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back. It's great to be here.
I did not realize how much you've been on tour and where you go. I mean, you're all over the place.
Yeah. I mean, as far as like tour goes, I don't really call it a tour if I'm sleeping in my own bed, but there have been a couple shows where, you know, we're getting hotel rooms or I'm not sleeping in my own bed. So yeah, there's been a little bit of as legitimate touring as I could put lately.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For real? I mean, we'll dive into all that. For the new listeners, right? You were last on the episode 82, last on the podcast, episode 82. You know, it is great to see you. As soon as you walked in the door, it was like just your positive energy, your vibes. I don't know. I love it. So I want to ask, how was your show? I mean, that was just yesterday, Sunday. We're recording this for listeners as of Monday, the 28th of July.
Yeah, it was a hot show. If I could describe it in one word, it was hot. Like, the band was hot and the weather was hot. We got there and we're under this. It's an outdoor type of deal. It's a cool bar outside of Hagerstown, and it says on the point, and people think, oh, is it near water? And it's like on a corner right off of Interstate 81, just over the PA line into Maryland. And it's a cool little spot. The people down there love what we do. Like, we're not really like in the mainstream country per se. We kind of straddle the line. Like, we might kind of just kiss mainstream a little bit, but for the most part, we're in the camp of independent country music and some old school Southern rock too, and some of those guys that were kind of on the fringe of just being barely able to make it on radio and stuff, as far as like stuff that we cover and the style that we play in our original songs. But the people at that bar, they love us. And so we pulled up there yesterday, and it was real hot. And they're always ready for us at Foster's. They have a big, like a Gatorade container, but just full of water, and we're just filling up during. They keep it behind the stage. Mm-hmm. But the stage has like a covering over top of it. It's like one of those, it's not a pergola. It's like a gazebo sort of, and the roof is real dark. And the sun just beats on that, and we're just cooking under there.
But
the band was cooking musically too yesterday. It was really good.
They were vibing.
Yeah, I hadn't played with them in a couple of weeks, and then we did a show in Quarryville at the Buck on Saturday with our friends Bobby Law and the Late Show, or Bobby Law Band now, and Trent Becker and the Collective, and we did a show there, and it was only like an hour and a half set. And we were like, this felt pretty good for having no rehearsal and not having played together for a couple of weeks, because I was out in Vermont and New Jersey and stuff, and New York. But we came back, and they're like, we're just going to do the show. And I was like, yep, we're going to see what happens. I believe in you guys.
And
then Sunday, same deal. So Saturday was almost kind of like our practice session for Sunday, just playing like that. And it was like we never left.
That's awesome.
It still felt tight.
Just mesh.
And the crowd just loved it.
Phenomenal. So, yeah, and that's what it's all about. You know what I mean? You want to go out and have a great show, but you also want to make sure you guys are performing it at your peak, you know? And that's funny. Foster's on the point. I was like, oh, it must be by water, but you're the furthest thing from water, you know, off 81. I love that. But so overall, good show. Real good show.
Yeah, it was a great time. The people that were there were loving it.
Now, you've described your music as black dirt country. Not red dirt, but something darker, you know, grounded in coal country, steel towns. You know, what shaped that identity for you?
Yeah, so it's mainly just being from Pennsylvania. We don't really have red dirt up here. So, I mean, as far as red dirt music goes, like, we love those bands like Cross Canadian Ragweed and Turnpike Troubadours, some of those bands that kind of started getting that red dirt name going. And then people have associated other acts over the years with red dirt because they don't know where to put them, because Nashville country doesn't want them. Some of them shun the term Americana, so you get guys like Tyler Childers and Cody Jinks will get like lumped in with that too, even though Tyler's from Kentucky, so it doesn't really fit him that well either. But people have started associating red dirt with just like the good stuff that you don't hear on the radio. But I I'm proud of where I'm from. We talked about this in the last episode. I'm PA proud. Mm-hmm. And instead of labeling ourselves as red dirt, like, we associate with those acts, and we're opening for an act like that next month. But I feel it fit to say black dirt because we're from a more fertile area of the country, where our dirt's a little bit more, a little darker.
Yeah.
And the sound kind of has that grit too.
Oh, I would agree. Oh, for sure. Yeah. Now, you mentioned opening for somebody coming up August, I think it's the 14th, I was looking. And I think, if I remember, you did a social media post, speaking of hot, right, and the temperature and stuff.
Yeah.
If I saw correctly, you were like on a lawn chair or something, completely clothed, hat on your head, you know, like long sleeves, when I mean completely clothed, right? Obviously, you've got clothes on, but long sleeves, long jeans, you know, you got your whole outfit on, and just a water sprinkler or something hitting you. And you did like a promo video. Talk to us about that.
Yeah. So the day before we did that promo video, my wife and I were like, it's so hot out today. Like, we don't have a sprinkler or anything like that. But I was just like, let's just take the garden hose, set it on mist.
Okay.
We had just planted our vegetable garden like a couple weeks prior. And we were out tending that, getting bit by bugs. And we're like, this sucks. We should turn the hose on ourselves. So we put the hose on mist. I took a spare pepper cage that I had. You know, those cages with, like, three prongs. You put them around, like, a pepper plant, so the pepper plant, like, grows within it. It kind of provides support for it.
Yes.
Some people use them for their tomatoes, but I prefer to tie them to a stake. But I could go on all day about gardening.
Gardening, okay. Part three.
So we took this pepper cage, and we just kind of hung the hose on it and put the chaise lounge out on the lawn, and we just sat there. And we had music playing, and the two of us were just sitting out and just getting sprayed by water. And I was like, this is awesome. This is like a day at the pool or a day at the water park, but better. Like, we're tanning and we're keeping ourselves, you know, hydrated. And I looked at her and I was like, you know what? We could make this into a promo, but nobody wants to see my big hairy chest. So I'll just get in my stage clothes.
Yeah.
and I'll do a promo for the upcoming Silverado show at Mickey's Black Box. So she's like, I think that's a great idea. So I put it up, and a bunch of people laughed at it. They thought it was hilarious. So sometimes you got to think outside the box and make yourself look like a fool just to get people's attention. It's sad that that's the way it is, but
it's brilliant though, from like a marketing standpoint or from an outside perspective, because it's hot, everyone's feeling the same thing, and what do you want to do? You want to get out in the water and you know, get even just a mist, right? And there you were. I thought it was awesome. So that was your idea. Now, this band you're opening up for, tell us a little bit about them, like Mickey's Black Box. How can people like get tickets and stuff?
Yeah, so the band is Silverada, and they are a Texas-based band. They're based out of Austin, and I've been a fan of them for a long time. They went through a name change and a rebrand. They used to be called Mike and the Moon Pies. They're led by Mike Harmeyer, who's on lead vocals and rhythm guitar. Okay. And he's just got an incredible band. But for a while, they said, you know, we didn't feel Mike and the Moon Pies was like a fitting name for us. It was more, they felt it was more becoming of like a bar band or something. And they're trying to see the bigger picture and try to, you know, give themselves a rebrand and a name that more so suits their sound that they have now. So they rebranded to Silverada, and some people loved the name at first. Some people were like, I don't know. And I feel like a lot of people have gotten used to it.
Mm-hmm.
And they've put out one album under that name, and it's incredible. And I've been a fan of them since they were still Mike and the Moon Pies, when I had heard about Steak Night at the Prairie Rose. It was an album they put out in 2018 that just got so much attention. And Saving Country Music, I think, named it as either the best or one of the best albums of the year at the end of 2018. And that's what got my attention. So wow. I started listening to them, and I was like, these guys are something else. They kind of had this trucker country kind of sound, which is kind of something that I'm really into, especially my dad having been a truck driver. They reminded me a little bit of, it's an old trucker country band called Commander Cody and His Lost Planet Airmen.
Oh, wow. What a name.
My dad partially named me after Commander Cody.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. That and Buffalo Bill Cody. So, I don't know. They just, their sound kind of reminded me of that a little bit. And now they've sort of evolved into this like real spacey steel guitar, heavy phaser driven band that some of their jams almost sound kind of like country Allman Brothers, which the Allman Brothers are my favorite band of all time. So like, they've kept me as a fan over the years, and now we get the opportunity to open for them. But yeah, so tickets for that show, it's going to be us, them, and then they're touring with a guy that's opening for them called Adam Chaffins. So I don't know if we're the first or second group on, but we're going to have a pretty solid set. And we played Mickey's Black Box once before. We played with Jess Zimmerman Band, and they were so good to us. And now this is our second chance to play Mickey's Black Box, and we're going to open for them. But yeah, so tickets are on sale at they're on Ticketmaster right now, or you can go to our website. You can go to CodyTylerMusic.com, click on the shows page, and the link is there. Or if you want to avoid paying the fees for Ticketmaster.
Who doesn't? Who doesn't?
Exactly.
Yeah, who doesn't? 100%.
You can message me. I have physical tickets, and the general admission tickets are $25 a piece straight up. There's no fees involved with that. And it just you just give me your address. I'll mail them to your house and eat the stamp. Like, I don't care.
Nice. Wow.
So no shipping costs or anything like that. So we'll just do – it's $25 per ticket. It's general admission, standing room. If you want a seated ticket, I would go online, and you have to pay the Ticketmaster fees and stuff. But, yeah, the $25, it's hard to get to see three really awesome original bands for that price.
For that price. Yeah, that's phenomenal
price. And you avoid Ticketmaster fees. Yeah. Everybody loves avoiding
those. Oh, my gosh. 100%. 100%. And shout out to Jess Zimmerman Band. She's phenomenal. Another guest that has been on the podcast twice now. So, you know, and she's talked very highly of Mickey's Black Box and performing there. And just the whole venue itself sounds like a phenomenal, you know, phenomenal setup.
Yeah. Now, she's got the Christmas show, I think, again this year, too, there.
Yeah,
she sells that place out like it's nothing.
Yeah. You know,
she makes it look so easy.
Yeah. Oh, she's, I mean, it's a phenomenal job. And I actually have her album right outside the studio here. She signed the Christmas CD. Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
She hooked me up. So, Jess is great. So now, since you've been here, you know, a lot's been going on. Off air, you talked about you were in the Fall Fest. This would have been just last fall, performing in front of 15,000 people.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah, it was a lot of people. I was a little nervous, but I wasn't like so nervous that I couldn't move, because at some point, like, it's a big crowd and I couldn't see where it ended. And after that, I was like, man, like, it's gonna, the rest of these shows, like, I always put my all on every show, but every show after that is gonna feel a little empty. But yeah, no, that was a really cool experience getting to play for all those people. And we made so many new fans that day. And I told them, I was like, 10 years ago, I was just like all of you. I was just sitting out there in the crowd at this I-105 event, watching Craig Morgan and John Michael Montgomery. It was 2014. And then 10 years later, 2024, here we are playing this stage. I said, I grew up right up the road from here in Shillington. I'm going to be over in that merch tent. I'm going to sign autographs until you're all out of here.
Yeah,
and that's what I did. And I didn't expect to be mobbed like that all day, but we had a line going way, 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 way back of people that wanted to meet us. And I signed so many autographs and we took so many pictures. My cheeks were hurting at the end of the day from smiling. Yeah. I used to think that was just an expression, but no, literally. Like, it's possible.
You know, and that's what it's all about, right? It's giving back to the fans, and you can support and make, you know, Taylor Swift famous and all these big, and don't get me wrong, she does phenomenal. I'm not bashing them, you know, Swifties, don't come after me, but it's like, support the people in your backyard, you know, support the local hometown, the local people in here in PA, in Pennsylvania, right? Yeah. That are doing amazing things. Like, to me, that's just way more, because right there, you know, these big artists aren't going to be in the tent signing merch for the whole line. You know, you got to pay like a premium to do that. So I think it's phenomenal, because it shows that you really do care, and you're not just, you know, oh, okay, well, I did my job, I got my check, I'm done, buy my stuff. You know what I mean? Like, you're getting involved, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to do that, especially at this stage of the game. One guy that I follow pretty closely and look up to as kind of a hero is Cody Jinks. And even when he got really, really big, when he was like really starting to get on that rocket ship, he would just be hanging out by his bus before the show or after the show, and people would meet him and he would take pictures, you know. And those guys, to a point, they don't believe in selling meet and greets.
Okay.
Until, you know, eventually you get to a point where you're big enough and you've got other people that you have to pay, crew and stuff. And one way that record labels or touring agencies see a way to make a little extra money to pay all the team that's around you is to sell meet and greets. So mm-hmm. I think there comes a point when you don't have a choice anymore. But makes I've sense. Always said, you know, no matter where this goes, for as long as I can, as long as I can afford to, or as long as I don't have to, I'll never charge somebody for, you know, me just seeing them for a 30-second conversation to say hello and thank you for coming to the show.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, because without those folks, I wouldn't have a job, and the guys in my band wouldn't have a job. And yeah, if my wife sometimes gets on me at the end of a show, you know, late at night, and she's tired and wants to go home, and I'm standing there talking to somebody for 30 minutes sometimes, and wow. She's like, you need to figure out a way when to cut the conversation. I'm like, I know that we have to get home, but like, every bit of me is like, I'll keep the conversation going. Yeah. And that's why she gets mad. She's not mad at the fans. She gets mad at me because I just bring up other stuff. Don't want to stop.
Yeah, you're in the moment, right? And
yeah.
And it's like they spend, you know, that hard-earned money, that hard-earned cash on coming to see you and your band. And yeah, I think it's phenomenal. I think that's the way to go. Especially, like you said, I get it. You're right. Up until a certain point, you know, you can't, maybe for security reasons and stuff, and then you have to sell the meet and greets. But, like, man, giving back is phenomenal. So now, you mentioned your band, and since you were on, there's some new band members or a whole new crew. Tell us about that. Shout out the band members.
Yeah, everybody's brand new. The old band, their final show with us was Fall Fest, the I-105 thing. So they went out on a real high note. And I had to go with a different direction with the sound. And my first call was Rafe Groves, our lead guitar player. So he's in a metal band too right now called New Damage.
Okay.
And they're based out of Coatesville, Pennsylvania. They're awesome guys. And they've been putting out a lot of singles lately. And everything they've done is fantastic. But Rafe and I originally became aware of each other through the Central Pennsylvania Music Awards. So it was after one of the awards shows, I think it was 2023, Rafe saw me at the after party that we had at the Englewood in Hershey.
Great place, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Awesome beer. Good people that run it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've played there quite a few times. But yeah, so Rafe saw me there at the after party. I got up and did karaoke. I sang Rooster by Alice in Chains.
Okay.
And he was like, that is awesome. So he followed me on Instagram. I followed him. He was in a band at the time with kids around his age. Rafe's a little younger. So they were like up for like best youth band or something with the CPMAs. And I started following him. And then one day he covered my song, Playing with Firewater, and put this sick guitar solo on it.
Love that song. Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, whoa. Where's this guy? How is he so good? And he's so young. Like, my God, he's better than me. And I've been playing guitar probably three times as long as he has.
Yeah.
And so I was like, that's really cool, man. So I saved that video and I thought, you know what? If anything ever happens with my band or if I'm ready to hire a fifth member, like, he's going to be my first call because an extra guitar never hurt, because for the longest time I was the only guitarist in the band.
Oh, wow. It's nice to have somebody in your back pocket. You know, you never know. Somebody you can count on.
Absolutely.
And just real quick, I don't want to cut you off, but while you're taking a sip there of garage beer, you know, I wanted to mention that That is one of my favorite songs. My two favorite songs, because I went and bought, they're off Stereo Demons Down, that album. It was, hold on, let me look here. I got to remember off the top of my head. Yeah, Playing with Firewater and Still That Never Goes Dry. Not Runs Dry, Goes Dry. Those are my two favorite songs. And I do, I got them on my phone right now. I listen to them when I'm out on the road. And like, yeah, I just wanted to shout those two songs out for any listeners. Start there. If you're looking like, what should I listen to for Cody Tyler, Gypsy Convoys? I recommend those two songs. But anyway, continue, please.
Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate you loving the songs enough to go and buy them and all that.
So yeah.
That means a lot.
Yep. Yeah, no problem.
Yeah. So I did end up calling Rafe up and I said, you know, hey, you know, I'm building a new band. I loved your cover of Firewater. I wanna bring in for an audition. We'll jam on some stuff. And of course the audition went great. He's always so well prepared. And he educates himself too. Like, he's not going to college, but he goes to camps and learns different styles of guitar. This past, I think it was late winter or early spring, he went to a gypsy jazz clinic and learned how to play gypsy jazz guitar, like Django Reinhardt and things like that.
Really?
And then in May, late May, early June, he went down to Asheville, North Carolina, went to a bluegrass camp, learned how to pick bluegrass.
Oh, wow.
Last fall, and then this coming fall, he's going to be going to Woodshed Guitar Clinic in Nashville, and that's like country stuff. I think he met Brent Mason there. Brent Mason is like one of the most famous 90s country guitar players. Like Chattahoochee.
Okay.
That's him playing guitar on Chattahoochee by Alan Jackson. Rafe is really... been a great addition to the band because he's sort of driving the way that the sound is going now with his leads, and I'm laying back a little bit more playing rhythm. Mm-hmm. And his tone is just perfect. It's everything that I envisioned in my head when I first started writing my own music. So he's been a great addition. So we were doing some duo shows last fall. We played Thanksgiving Eve at this place called Third and Spruce in West Reading. We had a packed crowd for that. It was our first duo show together. We still have a couple duo shows that we're doing here and there. And then we started looking for other cats to play. So we started looking for a bass player. And finding bass players is a little tough. It's not as common of an instrument. And then finding a bass player that wants to play country, where a lot of it is roots and fists, you know, the doom, doom, doom. Like, not a lot of guys want to do that.
Yeah.
And I like a good melodic bass too, but it was hard to find somebody that was willing to do that. So then we started looking for drummers, and I remembered a guy that I had run into a couple of years before. He had run sound for me at Telus 360 in Lancaster, and he went to Millersville with my brother-in-law and was in the music program there.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And he had played with my brother-in-law, I think. And his name's Gavin Orth. And I called up Gavin, and I knew that he had moved to Nashville and was trying to do that thing down there. And I hit him up, and I said, hey, man, are you still in Nashville? Are you back home? And he's like, actually, I was thinking about moving back home. My girlfriend and I have kind of had it down here. Like, it was fun, but we're going to move back, and there's a good bit of music industry jobs around Lancaster and Lititz and stuff. And I said, okay, cool. what would you think about playing in a country band?
Yeah.
And he and I had had briefly talked about it a little bit before, but it just wasn't the right circumstances. And he's like, oh, that'd be cool. He goes, I listened to your album already. I love it. So, yeah, I'll get started learning. I said, cool. When you get back, we'll do a little audition. But, hey, in the meantime, do you know any bass players?
Yeah, right, right.
And the reason I asked him that was years ago when I was in a cover band just starting out. An old wise bass player once told me the best thing you can do when you're forming a band is have a drummer and a bass player that are like buddies.
Okay.
Because to have a tight band, you want your rhythm section, your bass and drums to be lockstep. So if they're like synergistically locked, you're going to have a tight band.
Yeah.
So I said, do you have any friends that play bass that'd be interested in playing country? And he goes, yeah, actually, there's this guy named Sean Gron.
Okay.
I said, okay, I'll hit him up. So I talked to Sean. I was like, you know, here's what we do. We do like Cody Jinks, Tyler Childers, Whiskey Myers covers and Steel Woods and stuff. Do you know any of that stuff? He's like, yeah. He's like, Tyler Childers, his album Purgatory, I learned that front to back. He goes, I could do that. I listen to your stuff. I like it too. I said, let's get you in here. So he was, he's in the Downingtown area.
Okay.
So he came up to my house, sat in with Rafe and I, and he walked in with this fretless bass. So it's got no frets on it.
Yeah.
So when you place your finger on the string, it's got to be perfectly placed for your intonation to be on, or else it's going to sound a little flat or a little sharp if it's not perfect. And he pulled out the fretless bass, and Rafe kind of looked at me and went, like, got big eyes. And because the guy we had tried out before played a fretless bass too. And Rafe's like, he's like, when those guys bring those fretless basses out, I'm worried about it because sometimes their intonation's not right on. But the first guy we tried out had great intonation. And Sean starts playing this thing, and when we jammed, and then he left, and I said, what'd you think of this one with the fretless bass? He goes, his intonation is spot on.
Nice.
He's right on.
Nailed it.
He's like, it's basically like playing a stand-up bass, but as electric. Mm-hmm. And he's like, his gear is great. His intonation is spot on. He's, you know, around our age. That's the guy. I'm like, all right, cool. So then it was pretty much like, the drummer was a shoo-in at that point.
Yeah.
So he came in, sat in, did his thing. We're like, this is the band. So we rehearsed. I can't remember when our first rehearsal was. It might have been middle of March, something like that. And we started playing our first show at the end of April. We played a double show in West Reading, PA. We played the Craft Beer and Pretzel Festival. And then we played that night at the West Reading Motor Club. And whole bunch of people came out because they were so excited to see me with this band. And when that band was done with our first set, the guy that was running sound for us and sort of was like the stage manager came up to us and he's like, man, you just grew a pair of wings and you're flying now.
Yeah.
And he's like, said, we've got some country shows coming up at Mickey's Black Box. If you want to open for anybody, you just let us know. We'll see what we can do. So that's how the Silverado show came about.
Oh, perfect.
So I hit them up. As soon as I saw Silverado was coming to Mickey's, I was like, oh, my God, here's our chance.
Yeah.
So getting this new band, I feel, has really opened a lot of doors because people are looking at us a little bit differently now. People have told us, you sound good and you look good, and everybody looks like they're happy to be up there. And we just have this energy and this synergy between each other that it just really, really clicks. And I love these guys. And I think they're really grateful because they haven't really been in a band yet where they've been getting as much work as they have.
Yeah.
So they're just like, they're thrilled when they're getting,
they're
doing what they love. They're getting paid every week. And they're able to pay some bills by playing music. And some of them are in other original projects and they may not be able to. Sometimes, like when you get out of the country genre, metal really doesn't pay that well all the time. You're playing a lot of shows where it's like five or six bands on a bill, and you can't just show up and play metal music at like an outdoor festival in West Reading or a fall festival in Lebanon. Like, not everybody wants to hear that, but country right now, we're benefiting from it being so trendy right now that everybody wants a country band.
Mm-hmm.
So they're loving playing with me and playing with, you know, a band that's already kind of got an established name a little bit, that we can go out and find work a little bit more easily than somebody in like the hardcore metal scene or something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's phenomenal. Let's take a quick sip break.
Oh, yeah.
This sip break is brought to you by Garage Beer. From the garage to the cooler, whether you're on the golf course, just got done cutting your lawn on a hot summer day, or spending some quality time on the grill, grab yourself a Garage Beer. It's just beer-flavored beer.
Go Birds.
Amen to that. Garage Go Beer. Birds. Yes, sir.
Kelsey, I know Jason. I know Travis Kelsey's the other half, but it's...
Yeah.
That's kind of... I usually like to go for the lime ones because at least the can is green. So.
Yes. Yeah, exactly right. You can't go wrong with it. Pick back up. You got the new band. You guys are vibing. They're obviously taking initiative. Like you said, what is it, Wraith?
Rafe. Yeah.
R-A-I-F. Rafe. The fact that he's taking initiative and going out to these camps, learning, investing in himself, investing in more knowledge on different ways to play and different sounds, that's a win right there. I mean, that's huge for you as the lead singer, because then you know you got somebody that is passionate, that really cares, you know?
Yeah.
So that's huge. But you just released a song, which congrats, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah. Walk With Me came out July 15th. What's the story behind that song, and what do you want the listeners to feel when they listen to that song?
Yeah, so the band is not on that song. We recorded that song it was the spring of 2024 when we did that, so that was before I'd even met the new band. So the story behind that song was I wrote it when I was kind of in a low place, actually. So it's going to be part of what's going to be my next album. So it's kind of a solo album. I have a couple of players that I paid to be on that album to kind of give it more of an Appalachian feel. Mm-hmm. So that song started when we were first starting to record the album. We had been hit with a little bit of financial trouble, just like my van's transmission went out, and that can be crippling sometimes because we got to keep the van going to stay on the road and keep playing shows. And it was just like, oh, and we had some bad news with like our heater, like our HVAC system and stuff, like just getting hit with some big bills all at once.
And yeah.
My wife and I, we were kind of feeling down, like, man, like we got to really cut back here. We got to work a little bit harder, work a little bit more. And it just felt like life was nothing but work, and these bills kept hitting. And winter can be tough sometimes too, when there's not as much music going on and opportunities to play shows. And this song I just kind of wrote when I was in a bad spot, but we were both, we would always kind of look at each other and go, you know, we still have it better than most other folks out there, even though we're in a rough patch of luck right now. And we always have each other, at least. And it's the song is kind of about walking life's path, and how when you have somebody else to walk with, no matter what happens, you can weather the storm. You know, yeah. One person might be having a bad day, but you always have that other person to lean on to pull you back up. Or if you're both having a bad day, you can still build each other back up. And that's kind of what that song gets to. But yeah, so it's the fourth single on my upcoming album. It's going to be an 8-song album. I haven't really announced the album yet because we're finishing up a couple of the finer details, but we're going to be getting vinyl pressed and we're going to be getting CDs made, and nice. We want to have it out before the end of October this year. So,
okay. Yeah,
so there'll be no more singles. The next release people see from me is going to be a full
straight
album.
Straight up album.
Yep.
Okay, a great date. If you want to just throwing this out there, October 14th. My birthday.
Nice.
If you want to drop it? I'm just saying, if it happens to hit that day, you know, that'd be great.
Yeah.
But that's phenomenal. Wow. So, yeah, I did listen to Walk With Me, and it's definitely more of a, kind of, you could tell there was emotion there, but more like, you know, through hard times. And I pictured, okay, I'm like, either it's like a husband and wife or having someone there with you, or like a parent with a walking through life with a child, you know, just trying to get through some of the hardships and some of the things you experience. So it was definitely different, but I liked it compared to like, you know, Fire Water or Still It Never, you know, Goes Dry. Very,
yeah.
Very different tone.
Yeah, yeah. This album is definitely a little bit more of a stripped back kind of thing and a little more relaxed. There's a lot of love songs on it. There's a lot of songs that I wrote for my wife on that. So when we do the album artwork, I mean, we have the front cover done. We're working on the back cover, and maybe the insert to go inside. But I definitely, I might dedicate it to my wife. Yeah. Not all the songs are for her, but for the most part, it's for her.
She's a big part of your life.
You yeah.
And she's your rock.
She's a big part of the reason why I'm sitting here in the first place talking to you about music. She's the one that pushed me to start it as a career in the first place. So
go and listen to episode 82 the listeners out there. Remind me, though, your wife's first name.
Sammy.
Sammy, shout out to Sammy. Phenomenal. Yeah. So you've been touring this whole month. How's the reception been out in the road so far for the listeners? You know, this includes like Vermont, New Jersey, New York, Maryland, you know, throughout PA. You know, what's it like out in the road?
It's been a fun time. So we started this run. We went over to Buffalo, New York. Well, it was Hamburg, New York, a little bit south of Buffalo. And these great people booked me for a private show, and it was actually what happened. So I was playing a show up at Penn State at the Bryce Jordan Center. It's like this VIP experience that they do when like a big concert that's country comes into the Bryce Jordan Center. So I'm playing in this VIP lounge, and I come out from that show, and I got an email that someone filled out my booking form on my website, and it was somebody in Hamburg, New York for July 4th. And I was like, oh, cool, we're going to Vermont on July 5th. We can route that way. That'll work out. So we kind of settled everything, and I get to the party, and I realize it was a 16-year-old kid that booked me, and his parents were there, and they're like, our son booked you. He's like, you're actually the whole reason that this party's happening, because he wanted music on the 4th of July. And we were just like, yeah, sure, why not? Let's throw a big party. What the heck?
That's awesome.
So he booked us, and like I assumed I was talking to like a grown son that maybe had parents. And then he's like, my parents have this farm outside of Buffalo. And I was like, okay, cool. So I sent him a contract. He came back signed and everything. 16. And his dad was like, yeah, he signed a contract and everything. But they're like, it's okay, because the kid and his mom were at my show and went in to the big arena then for that show, but they were both there, and the son just loved what I was doing so much, and the dad was like, yeah, no, he's really good, so yeah, let's do it. So they just it started with the son booking me, and it became this big 4th of July party with fireworks, and they had a pond and people were swimming in it, and it was just a really beautiful property. It was like a little piece of heaven on earth, and it was just really, really cool, just off of Lake Erie. So that the reception there was obviously great. They basically planned the party around me playing just solo. So then the next day we went over to Vermont, and I had two shows at a campground there. And the way that I got playing shows in Vermont was my wife's family goes on vacation there every year. We go up for 2 weeks. We vacation on a lake up there. And I started playing at this campground when we first started going there, and they always bring me back. But this year they said, we want you for two shows. I said, okay, cool. Yeah. And then this other place that I had randomly just messaged about playing music last year, I started playing there last year. They brought me back again this year for two shows. So I was able to do four shows while I was in Vermont. And we did some vacationing too, and we were on the lake. And nice. My father-in-law has a boat, and we get out on the boat, and we tube and we water ski and
drinking some garage beers.
All that. And when that was done, the way it worked out with my schedule and all my music and stuff this year, my parents wanted to go to the shore where we always went when I was a kid. We go to Avalon in New Jersey. Okay. And we planned it for the week after we got back from Vermont. So we came home from Vermont on Saturday the 19th. My wife and I, we took the van home, unloaded everything that we had to unload. We picked up what we needed to pick up, and we went right down to Jersey the same night. So I drove the whole way. I love to drive. It didn't bother me one bit. It's about 6 or 6.5 hours from the lake in Vermont to my house, and then another maybe 2.5, depending on the traffic.
That's a lot of driving.
To Avalon. But it was fun.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I wanted to cut the grass in between the Vermont drive and the Avalon drive. Okay. My wife wouldn't let me, so I didn't get to do that. But I love cutting grass. It's just a mindless activity.
Yeah.
But I wanted to cut the lawn. She told me no. So we turned.
What guy doesn't like to cut the grass, really? You know what I mean? Yeah.
She's like, you're going to be too tired. You're going to fall asleep at the wheel, and you won't let me drive. And I was like, listen, you're my passenger princess. Just I can do the driving at least. I won't cut the grass, but yeah. I'll just let me drive.
I love
please.
That passenger princess. Yeah. You just keep me awake a little bit, but you know, you relax. Yeah.
She's my queen, you know. I don't want her to have to lift a finger. You know, she's on vacation and I'm, you know, she cooks for me and she's a really good cook. And sometimes I cook for her, but you know, she likes to cook, and it's the same thing with you cooking. Like, if I offer to cook, usually you're like, no, it's fine, I got it. It's the same deal with driving, you know? Yeah. It's fine. She can handle that big van, no problem. She's done it, but...
Yeah.
So we drove down to Avalon, and I had a show at the Wildwood Honky Tonk down there while I was there. It was a duo show, actually, so Rafe came down and met up with us, and did a show down there and had a good time, and... So that was the second to last day that we were in Avalon. And then that Saturday, we left, and I played in Quarryville with Bobby Law and Trent Becker. And then yesterday was Hagerstown, Maryland. And now I'm here. We did three shows in three states in 3 days.
That's amazing. Wow, Cody. I'll tell you what. I mean, it's wild how much you get around. And you have to. You know, you have to get out there and spread the name. But, like, you know, how has collaborating with other PA-based artists such as, you know, Jake Maish, how has that impacted you?
It's really made me realize that one thing that Nashville's doing right is the whole collaboration thing. It's like the old saying goes, two heads are better than one. Mm-hmm. And Jake and I mean, outside of music, we would be friends anyway. I always say that. Jake and I are just really good buddies. Bobby Law, too. We actually just wrote last fall, we wrote a song together, Jake, Bobby, and I, and Bobby's friend, Junior. We wrote a really cool song called Cut a Deal. I want to put it on my next album that we've cut with the band. We've been playing it live, and the reception's been pretty good. People really dig it. It's almost kind of got like a Luke Combs feel to it, little bit. So when you hear it, I think you'll get to like it. Mm. I've got a demo actually with me. If you want, I'll play it for you off the air.
Would you? I'd love that. That'd be great.
You, though. Just me. Okay, all right. We won't put it out there yet. Oh, man, if people want to hear it, they should come out to the show.
Oh, I like that. There you go. Get out there and support local. Yeah. That's what it's all about.
But yeah, collaborating, though, it's the best thing. Jake and I put out As a Rambler Goes back in late February. He started writing that years ago, and then he came to me right around this time last year and said, hey, what do you say we write a song together? And he just had this notebook full of gold.
Yeah.
Probably the best songwriter that I can call a friend. And he's like, here's this one, and he played it for me, and I was like, that sounds good. Let's roll with that. And I helped him finish it. It was mostly Jake, though. But I helped him finish it. But he was just on that day. He was on when he first wrote it, and he was on that day. And then he asked me, he's like, do you actually want to sing with me on it? I'm going to record it.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, yeah, sure. If you're cool with that. Like, it started out as your baby, and I just kind of helped you finish it. But he's like, yeah, sure. So I went down to his producer's studio in Glen Rock.
Okay.
And we recorded it, and it's out now. You can stream it anywhere. And a lot of people love the song, and the band has learned it now, so we're starting to do it at our live shows. And Jake and I are going to be at a show together this Saturday, actually. It's Ramble in the Woods. It's a house festival put on by some friends of ours, and we're going to do it together live for the first time.
Whoa.
With a full band for the crowd this Saturday.
Make sure somebody gets a video of that.
Oh, yeah.
For social.
There will be plenty of that.
Perfect. Now, speaking of social media, I saw some new merch you recently dropped, maybe even before the tour, but I gotta shout it out because the boozy can koozie
in
the shape of a boot. Oh, phenomenal. I love that. I've honestly never seen it. I wish I brought one with.
I could have given you one. I'm sorry. I'll have to mail it to you.
Well, hey, you know where I'm at. We'll get you on for a part three, you know? Talk about gardening. Talk about your gardening. I just that merch looked really cool. And the hat, the colorway on that hat, phenomenal. So, you know, for the listeners, definitely go out and check social media, Cody Tyler. What is your Instagram handle going to remind us?
So it's at Cody Tyler Music on Instagram and Facebook, and then I'm on TikTok and X and all that other stuff too.
All that good stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect. So I wanted to mention for some of the listeners that maybe they're like, oh, do I really want to go back and listen to episode 82? If you haven't decided already, this might encourage you. Back on episode 82, we discussed, and you had mentioned that you played on The Voice. You have won multiple CPMA awards. You know, from the album of excuse me, hold on, from the album of the year to best country band, looking back, what has that recognition meant to you professionally and personally?
Oh, it's meant so much. It's helped us get a lot of work, honestly. The place we just played yesterday, Foster's on the Point.
Yeah.
We've had a good relationship with them over the last like 2 or 3 years. And the first time they booked me, I ask everybody when they first booked me, you know, where'd you hear about us? And the owner at Foster's on the Point said, well, I went on the CPMA website and just scrolled the list of nominees and winners and just started messaging people.
Yeah.
So that's how I found you. So the CPMAs are doing a great job of helping get everybody's name out there. So just getting nominated is awesome, because if your name's on that list, people are looking at that. And if they're looking for a good band for whatever, you know, that's a great place to start. And when people ask me, like, if I can't make a date, like, people will, you know, send us a booking email. And a lot of times I'll be like, you know, sorry, you know, we're booked that day, or, you know, the next Saturday I can get you in is in October or something. And they're like, you know, do you have any other recommendations? And I tell them, you know, hey, go on the CPMA website, find whatever genre you're looking for, anybody on that list, any of those nominees, it's guaranteed pretty much that they're going to be worth your money.
And that's what it's all about, you know. And that's, I love that people are using that as a tool to, like, okay, who can we find, you know? And again, support local, you know, support local music, support local talent. That's what it's all about. Well, let's take a quick snack break. This snack break is brought to you by Jerky Beef Jerky. When late night editing episodes for the podcast, Jerky Beef Jerky keeps me fueled and ready to go. With 11 grams of protein, high-quality ingredients, and no nitrates or nitrites. With 5 different flavors to choose from, Jerky Beef Jerky. Eat, meat, repeat. Appalachia. That word is getting me. I don't know why. Because normally I say it How do I say it? Appalachia?
The Kentuckys want you to say it Appalachia. The Kentuckians, Appalachia. The West Virginians, and Virginians. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
Appalachia.
Yeah, I've been corrected in the past, so I've given in.
Appalachia. All right, because your music often conjures imagery of you know, North Central PA, garage bars, woods, you know, trails through the Appalachia, you know, and so forth. Just being out in the wilderness. How do you bring that authenticity to the stage? I mean, even, you know, the way you present yourself. How do you bring that every day to every show?
I don't know. I just try to go out there and just be me. Like, I've heard of some artists where they have an onstage persona and then offstage they're like just like regular people. I try to be just a regular guy on and off stage. Like, some guys, they go on stage and a switch flips. Like, some famous acts, like some, I'm not going to name names, but I've heard of like some of the biggest names. Like, they go on stage and they're a completely different person. I just try to just be myself when I go out there. I don't really. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I love to hunt. I love to be in nature. I love the wilderness. I have a passion for like I'll just look at a piece of like wilderness art and be like, all right, I want to turn this into a song.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I did with this latest album, is I just tried to, I want the artwork of the album and everything to just reflect the music, and the music to also reflect back on the art. I want it to conjure up these feelings within people, you know, about what Pennsyltucky is about. And I think with this latest album, the sound that we're curating has kind of gotten there. The next band's album will be a little bit different than that. But yeah, as far as like on stage, I just I'm myself. And one thing that I always do that I try to keep consistent, I have this rug that I stand on when I'm on stage, and it's got a bear and a log cabin on it. And it just looks like something that you'd see on the floor in a hunting camp or something. And when I take it home, I put it in my rehearsal space in front of my turntable. And that's where I stand when the band practices, or when I'm practicing, that's where I'm at. And I just throw that down on stage. It's like a grounding thing.
Yeah.
So it's like something that's familiar. And I'm always in the same pair of hiking boots that I used, and I hunt in those same boots.
Nice.
So, like, yeah. I don't wear cowboy boots on stage. Okay. I wear Carolina, you know, timber boots, you know, like logger boots. And I feel like it's kind of like the Mr. T thing. Have you ever seen the interview with Mr. T where they ask him about his shoes, because his shoes are, like, all beat up?
No.
So he's got these shoes that are, like, all duct taped, and they look like crap. And they're like, Mr. T, you're worth like millions of dollars. Why you walk around in these old beat up shoes? He's like, because they keep me grounded.
Huh.
He's like, no matter how much jewelry I got on here, there, whatever, like I can always look down at my shoes and be like, that's where I came from, and it keeps me grounded. So I kind of employ that. I always wear the Lager boots. I got that carpet, that rug. It's like a familiar piece of home that I can hang on to like a security blanket, but at the same time, it's also just a way to keep me grounded and remind me of who I am and what my identity is.
Mm-hmm.
So
wow, I love that. Yeah. I never knew, but that so keeps you grounded, keeps you like centered. You know, it's I love that security blanket, but yet it's those little things that you know the fans, the listeners, they would never pick up on. But to you, it's like it's comforting. You know, it's you're grounded. It's your home base, if you want to say.
Yeah.
Wow, I never knew that. That's kind of neat. That's kind of like opening the curtain, you know, and getting like a behind the scenes. You know, so let me ask this for emerging artists here in Pennsylvania or elsewhere. You know, what advice would you give, you know, around standing out and staying true to your roots?
What I would advise is, I mean, some artists from around here, they don't want to brand themselves as a Pennsylvania artist, and that's fine. But if they want to stand out, if you want to break out in this scene, the best piece of advice I can give is to network with people. Go out to concerts. Go out to hear local bands as much as you can. If there's a concert happening that's in your niche, like I go to Telus 360 a lot if there's a country concert happening. The last show that I went to was Justin Wells and, who was the headliner? I can't even remember. Oh, American Aquarium.
Okay.
It was American Aquarium and Justin Wells. And it was my first AA show, but it was my second time seeing Justin Wells. My first time I opened up for him out in Missouri years ago. And I got to meet him again afterwards, and I was like, hey, man, do you remember me? He's like, oh, my God, what are you doing here? And I was like, I live here. Like,
yeah.
I know you saw me open for you in Missouri, but this is where I live.
It's my backyard, yeah.
But, you know, it's just sort of that whole thing, like networking. And when you go out to shows like that, that are at, like, Telus 360 or Mickey's Black Box, like sort of the non-arena shows, you meet a lot of other musicians there because a lot of your fans early on are going to be other musicians. So I go out to those shows or Phantom Power in Millersville. You know, you want to find where the small venues are in your town or the town that's closest to you and get out there, go to those shows, talk with people, like wear a band t-shirt of your favorite band. Maybe it's not the band that's there that night, but maybe it's like another band that's in that same niche. That starts conversations with people where you're like, oh, do you like the Steelwoods? Yeah, I love the Steelwoods, right? Oh, they're so cool. And you talk with people that way, and you can bring up in conversation, oh, yeah, I play music. I'm in a band. Oh, really? What's your band called? I'm in a band too. And you just exchange information. And sometimes you get on shows together. Like I did a show in Harrisburg with Jake Mache and Adam from Adam the Armadillos and Jillian Smith. We did a song swap together back in, I think it was in March. And doing collaborative shows like that helps you stand out
mm-hmm.
because I was bringing fans, Jillian, Adam, Jake, they were all bringing fans. And then people got to listen to everybody on one stage. And then it's not like sports.
Mm-hmm.
You can like as many artists as you want.
Right.
So, you know, people heard me before and they were big fans of me. And then they hear Jake do his songs. They're like, oh my gosh, I'm a huge Jake Mache fan now. One of my best friends in the world, Corey, came to that show as a fan of me, and he left with a bunch of Adam and the Armadillos merch because he loved Adam and his songs.
Yeah.
So, you know, it all works out, and it's all like a nice kumbaya kind of thing when you collaborate with people. I just love doing it.
You all come up together kind of, you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. you share, like you said, it's not like Eagles and the Cowboys, you know, talking about that, you know, Philly and Dallas where you hate each other and you want to, you know, knock the hell out of each other. But it's like you can share fans and like if they vibe with you, chances are they're going to vibe with Jake. They're going to vibe with Adam and stuff. So,
yeah,
I mean, that's the way to do it. That's how I look at it, you know, collab. And it's not so much of a competition because, you know, you're all in the same boat. And if you can collaborate, like we said earlier, why wouldn't you, you know, go all in on that? No, phenomenal advice. I think that's great advice for anyone listening that wants to get into music or, you know, wants to join a band. You know, it's neat to hear how, you know, people have gotten to where they are now. You know?
Yeah, it's all about making friends and then supporting those friends, whether they're in your band or not. Some of the guys from Rafe's metal band, New Damage, they came out to our show one night. We were close to them, and they came out. Our bass player is in a rock band called 25th Hour, and, you know, the guys from 25th Hour, they'll come out and support us at our shows. And we're so busy, but when I have a night off, I'm going to go to a 25th Hour show, and I'm going to go to a New Damage show, you know. Yeah. And it's just a cool thing to be out, and you can support people even if they're outside of your niche, too. And that's always cool. But a good friend of mine who's a Bucks County-based country artist, Matt Friedman, he once said to me that rising tides float all ships. And he's right. If one artist all of a sudden has a hit and goes and brings attention to this scene, and we talked about this in episode 82.
Yeah.
I was like, all it's going to take is for one PA artist to go, and if people start looking into the area, they're going to find a whole bunch of other people.
So much talent. Yeah. Matt Friedman, shout out to him. I know we've been messaging back and forth on social a little bit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's funny you mention that. Like, awesome. Yes. So I need to get him on board and get him on here.
Matt's a great guy. He's helped me out in so many ways. He's helped me break into the Bucks County area big time. Okay. So big shout out to Matt. He's a great human being.
I think I saw he was just out at, what is it, Red Rock, or he was somewhere on social media. I saw, as a fan. Not, I don't think he was performing.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
What an experience.
He went out. I forget who he was seeing, but yeah, he was at Red Rocks, and yeah, I'm sure that was a bucket. That's a bucket list for everybody. I want to get out there for a show so bad.
That'd be wild.
Yeah,
yeah. Now you mentioned I want to get her first name right. Was it Jillian Smith? Right.
Yeah, Jillian Smith.
Jillian Smith. She played recently out at Hollywood Casino. I can't remember the...
Yeah, she was opening for Cole Swindell.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm so bad. My wife is like phenomenal when it comes to naming artists and their songs they play, because she'll quiz me, and my dad does the same thing, and my father-in-law. They'll be like, oh, Sully, who plays this? Or who is... What's this song? And they're like, you know it. And I'm like, I don't remember right now. I just don't. But anyway, we saw her. We saw her perform. We were there. And her... I think it's her lead guitarist. Phenomenal.
Sarah Sheriff.
Yes.
Sarah's amazing.
Yes.
Sarah was the best guitar player on stage when we did the song swap at Appalachian Brewing in Harrisburg. And she's a great, great guitar player. She plays with a lot of people. She was playing with Grant Bryan Band, I think, for a while there. She's in a lot of bands, and she has no trouble getting work. And then I think she plays at her church, too.
Oh,
just
nice.
Another great A human being, and an awesome guitar player,
and great ladies,
definitely like a local hero of mine, somebody that I look up to, and like not only my own guitar player Rafe, but her too. Like, man, if I could just play like either of them someday.
Yeah, someday. Yeah, so shout out to those ladies, you know. Yeah. And I just, you're kind of wrapping it up here. I wanted to ask again, how can our listeners connect with you and follow along on the interwebs?
Yeah, so go to CodyTylerMusic.com, subscribe to the email list. We really don't send out a lot of emails. I think it's been over a year since I last sent out an email blast, but we're going to be doing a blast real soon when we do the album announcement. And you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, X, Twitter, whatever you want to call that. And pretty much everywhere. We're on Threads.
It's the newest one. Yeah.
Yeah. We're on Threads. We have a good bit of followers over there, but people need to use that more. People don't seem to be on it as much, but yeah, we're on every social media platform and streaming platform you can imagine.
And I like that. That's the way to do the email blast. You know, you just do it once in a blue moon, and then that really grabs people's attention, because it's like, oh, what's this? It's different. You know, let me actually open this up. You know, when you sign up for like a newsletter, an email blast, it's like, oh man, you get it every week or every other month or something. It's like, ooh. But, you know, yeah, every once in a blue moon, I think that's the way to do it. So for links to Cody's new single, merch, tour dates, and social media, check the show notes. And if you enjoyed today's episode and it resonated with you, please share it, leave a review, and follow American Grown Podcast for more stories from the heart of our community. Cody, if you're good, man, I'm gonna close it out.
Yeah, absolutely. One more thing before we go,
please,
though.
Please, yes.
We did make one little change with the streaming. So the album used to be under Cody Tyler and Gypsy Convoy. Now everything is under one tent. It's just under Cody Tyler now.
Okay.
So when we're on stage, we're still Cody Tyler and Gypsy Convoy, just like Johnny Cash was, you know, Johnny Cash and the Tennessee Three and stuff. But when you look up his music, you just look up Johnny Cash. Mm-hmm. Or you just look up just Cody Tyler. So everything's going to be under one tent. That way we can get as many listeners as possible just to one instead
Good
of
idea.
You know, two channels. So yeah, everything's just kind of consolidated under just Cody Tyler. I had someone say that to me about our Spotify, like, I couldn't find your music. Apple Music though doesn't allow you to change the artist name, so Apple Music, ooh, we're still split.
Come on, Apple.
But Spotify and everywhere else, it should just be under just Cody Tyler. So if they want to find and stream the songs and give us a follow on Spotify, that's actually the biggest way to help us out.
So, perfect. Yeah, let's do it, Cody. Thanks so much for being back on American Grown Podcast. Your music carries the heart of Appalachia, and Walk With Me feels like one of your strongest songs yet. Cody Tyler, singer and songwriter for the band Cody Tyler and Gypsy Convoy, thank you for joining me, sir.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a review. To see photos of today's guests and more content, just search American Grown Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.
If you'd like to be a featured guest on the podcast, please direct message or email Austin at AmericanGrownPod@gmail.com.
This episode was brought to you by these sponsors. A&M Pizza, authentic Italian food made with the finest quality ingredients. Proudly serving the Lebanon and Lancaster area since 1980. Stop by their Campbelltown location today. You'll be happy you did. Haynes Auto Detailing, run by owner Josh Haynes, offers a professional service that is sure to have your vehicle shining from wheel to wheel. My wife and I both trust Josh with our personal vehicles, and believe me, with two kids, the back seats tend to look like a hot mess. But after a trip to Haynes Auto Detailing, the vehicles look better than brand new, both inside and out. Message Haynes Auto Detailing on Facebook or call 717-679-3673 to get your vehicle looking right today. Are you in the mood for getting out of your house this evening? Head over to Boyer's Tavern in Rexmont, PA. They have appetizers, soups, salads, wings, mouth-watering burgers, sandwiches, and many other entrees to choose from. Proper food and drinks made by slightly improper folks. Head over to Boyer's Tavern today or give them a call at 717-450-4063.
Hostler Engraving is your local source for unique, quality-driven laser-engraved gifts for all occasions. Place an order today by visiting our Facebook page at Hostler Engraving. You won't be disappointed.
Triggered 22 LLC, a veteran-owned apparel company. By purchasing a t-shirt, hat, or hoodie from Triggered 22, you're not only supporting a small business, but you're bringing awareness to veteran PTSD and suicide. Please help save the lives of those who fought for our freedoms. Visit Triggered22.com now and place your order. Let's help those suffering from invisible wounds today.